Now, here with this, we'll finish off the final daf of the Masechta, daf Chatan Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kasha Yitziat Neshama Min Aguf. The Neshama leaving the Guf is so difficult. Now, and it gives a parallel. Again, here's our difficulty in explaining this. Kitzipori Pifi Aveshet. Many different interpretations of this. Rashi over here says, it's like the rigging on the edge of the mast. That's what it is. The rigging on the edge of the mast, which there's a knot in the rope, which forces the rope to be caught at the end of the mast, and it doesn't allow it to pull out. So to get that knot, to pull it through the hole, to get it out of there, is extremely difficult. That is the way that the neshama leaves the guf. It's so painful, like taking a knot of the knotted rope through a hole which it can't fit. That's how difficult it is. Others, like the Geonim, explain it very simply. Kitzipori. It's like eating a whole bird, b'fi avesh, down, swallowing it down to your esophagus. They take it really literally. It's like swallowing a whole bird down to your throat, which is very difficult for the bird to pass through one's esophagus in that manner. Either way, again, there are interpretations in between, but either way, it's very painful. It's very difficult and very painful. Rabbi Yochanan says, kibetire b'fi veshet. So if you continue along the lines of what Rashi said before, Rashi says over here it means to tie two boats together. It's the rope that's used to tie two boats together. Again, I dive a rope that's caught. Others say it's like the topsail on the edge of the mast. Which at the topsail, again, the knotting or the holding of it there, it's knotted in such a way it won't come out easily. So it's very, very difficult to get it out. The Geonim, and continuing there, is Kiptire Pitriot. It's like eating mushrooms, b'fi avesh, eating a whole mushroom, big mushroom down your throat, like a portobello, in one shot down your throat, which is very difficult. Now, this is very interesting, because this is in contrast to what we saw earlier in the daf today. Earlier in the daf, they say, oh, they come back, Rova and Rav Nachman, they ask you, how was it going when the Malach HaMavet came? One of them said it's like pulling a hair out of fat. One of them said it's like a little prick of the blood letter. Over here we have the neshama leaving the gulf. It's like so difficult, terrible. The pain is extreme. What is going on here? Why do we have two different explanations? The answer lies in the fact, the difference in the person's preparation for Olam Haba. This is from Rav Arya Kaplan. It's a beautiful way to explain it. Understanding of death, I think it's found in If You Were God, a book written by Rav Arya Kaplan. He explains that the neshama is a ruchani, is a spiritual side of the individual. The guf is the physical side of the individual. The neshama spends its lifetime inside of the guf, in the body. The question is, the neshama, how influenced is it by the guf? If a person spends their whole lifetime in focused on the guf and on material side of life, then the neshama becomes accustomed to the material side and becomes very wedded to the guf, to the body. And that means when it comes time for the neshama to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and leave the guf, it has great difficulty doing that because the guf has become the center of that life, of that neshama. And therefore the neshama hovers over the guf. Anything that happens to the guf, when it rots, the body rots, it's a tremendous pain for the neshama. Because of the tremendous focus on the guf, therefore the neshama has a hard time leaving the guf. On the other hand, for someone who spent their whole life in spirituality and pursuits of getting closer to Hashem, then when the neshama leaves the guf, then the guf is almost like a foreign object in the neshama. The neshama reattaches to its natural habitat where it is spiritual. So for someone who is, again, a spiritual being, and someone who spent their whole life in focuses on ruchaniyut, then when the neshama leaves, it's as if a freedom from the guf. They were released from the guf. It's something that goes easy. And they depart from the guf very easily. That doesn't leave them in any pain, what happens to the guf, because the guf wasn't their focus, wasn't important to them. Gashmiut was not important in their lifetime. So what might be described over here in the Gemara is different types of deaths. You have deaths there of the Amoraim, great leaders of the Amoraim. When they had their death, you're right, it went easy. The neshama separated from the guf was actually like a ben chorin. They were freed from the guf. It was a celebration their day of death when they left. Whereas here we're talking about the normal experience of an individual who is attached to their guf and have had worldly pursuits. The neshama has a much harder time separating from the guf, and here is described as being a very difficult process of the neshama leaving the guf. Alright, I think that would help explain the contrast or the difference between these two Gemaras. Then the Gemara now continues, Amar Rabbi Levi, Brachaita, Aniftar min Amet. When one leaves the mate, this is similarly brought at the end of the Gemara in Brachot, which is Lo Yamar Lo Lech L'Shalom. When you depart from the mate, don't say Lech L'Shalom, Ela Lech B'Shalom, go in peace. Aniftar min Achai, someone leaves or departs and someone is alive, Lo Yamar Lo Lech B'Shalom, don't say go Bishalom in with peace, Elalech Lishalom, go in peace. So why is that? Aniftar min amet, lo yomar lo lech lishalom, don't say this, Elalech Bishalom, shenemar, because it says, about Avram Avinu, when Brit Ben Amtarim, it says, Vata tavol avotecha bishalom, that you will pass away and go to your forefathers b'shalom. So when you talk about the mate, you're talking your proper way to depart from the mate is b'shalom. On the other hand, aniftar min achai lo yomar lo lech b'shalom. Don't say that. El lech l'shalom sherei David. Shomar le avshalom. When he says to avshalom, lech b'shalom, halach v'nitle. He went and was, now, not literally, he was not hanged, because he was, that's not how he met his death, but his hair got caught in the tree, and he was hanging by the tree, and then he was killed by that, so nitle. Itro, shamar le Moshe. On the other hand, Itro tells Moshe, lech l'shalom, halach v'nitleach. He goes ahead, and he is successful. What is the difference between lech l'shalom, lech b'shalom? So, I always favor the interpretation of the Marshal, which is brought down in Brachot, which is a beautiful idea. The word shalom means shleimut, with wholeness, completeness. So over here, when you talk about a mate has reached the end. There's nothing left for them to do. So what do you say? Lech bishlemut. Go with your wholeness. Go with whatever you have. All you have is what you're taking right now. So therefore it's lech bishalom. Other than a person who's alive, you say lech lishalom. Go lishlemut. You should continue your path. You should continue to work towards reaching a shlemut. So therefore it's lishlemut. Going to shlemut rather than with shlemut. And that's why it's wrong to do it the other way. When you say to someone lech bishalom, you're basically telling them you're at your end. There's no more for you to do. You are shalem already. That's why you, when Avshalom, it didn't work out so well. Whereas when you say to a live person, lech l'shalom, that you're telling him, continue to work towards your goals of being a shalem. And that's the difference between lech bishlemut to lech l'shlemut. Right now we end off with the last gadato of Masechet Moed Katan, which is, Amar Rabbi Levi, another one from Rabbi Levi, that's why we bring it over here, Amar Rabbi Levi, kol hayotzei mibeit haknesset the beit midrash. Anybody goes from the shul, davening, into the Beit Midrash, into learning, or maybe Beit Midrash, the Beit Knesset, or from learning into the Beit Knesset. That's why we have the shear between the first minion and the third minion, so you could do either way. You could daven and then come and learn, or learn and then go daven. Either one of these is Zoche Mekabel Pnei Shechina. That person warrants to greet the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, because the Pesuk says in Tehillim, Yelchumi Chayol El Chayol. You'll go from strength to strength. Yira'eh El Elukim B'Tzion, they will appear to God in Tzion. So who is the one who appears to, who is able to appear to God in Tzion? The one who goes from strength to strength. What's Chayel El Chayu? From shul, from davening to learning, or from learning to davening. You should know it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch La'alocha, that after one davens in the morning, they should try to learn. They should sit down for a second and learn. They should go to Beit Midrash for a second and learn. And even if they don't know how to learn, Yelchu, they should go there, get Schar Alicha. There's this idea of going from davening into learning before one starts out in their day. So it's very important to have a learning seder either before davening or after davening based on this, because this is the way that a person enters his day. This is the way that he starts his day. And that's why that person will say Kabo B'chei Shechina, because he starts his day off on the right note, davening and learning. That's the only way you can start your day. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lehem Menucha Afil Olam Haba. Talmidei Chachamim don't even have rest in the future. Shenemar, Yechu Mechayel Ol Chayel, they'll go from strength to strength. Yera'eh El Elukim Mitzion. Until they appear before God in Sion, which means that they will always, they have to go, whatever they did in this world, they have to continue doing the next world until the Atid Lavo, when they finally will get their final rest. They won't be in rest until they reach that point, the final time, Yireh Elokim in Sion, until God appears in Sion, which is the Atid Lavo. That's finally when they have rest, from strength to strength. And with that, we complete Masechet Moed Katan. Hadron Alach, Velu Migalchim, Uslik Allah, Masechet Moed Katan.